Loosewig 7, Side 2.
Why does it look like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet? Because Negroes have listened to the trickery and the lies and the false promises of the white man now for too long. And they're fed up. They've become disenchanted. They've become disillusioned. They've become dissatisfied. And all of this has built up frustrations in the black community that makes the black community throughout America today more explosive than all of the atomic bombs the Russians can ever invent. Whenever you got a racial powder keg sitting in your lap, you're in more trouble than if you had an atomic powder keg sitting in your lap. When a racial powder keg goes off, it doesn't care who it knocks out the way. Understand this, it's dangerous. Because what can the white man use now to fool us? After he put down that march on Washington, and you see all through that now, he tricked you, had you marching down to Washington. Yes, had you marching back and forth between the feet of a dead man named Lincoln and another dead man named George Washington, singing, "We Shall Overcome." He made a chump out of you. He made a fool out of you. He made you think you were going somewhere and you end up going nowhere but between Lincoln and Washington.
Thank you. Type of rule now. Not one man rule, a rule of aristocracy or plutocracy, but a small groups elevated to positions of absolute power by random pressures and subject to political and economic factors that leave little room for decision. They are representatives of abstract forces who have reached power through surrender of self. The iron-willed dictator is a thing of the past. There will be no more Stalins, no more Hitlers. The rulers of this most insecure of all worlds are rulers by accident, inept, frightened pilots of controls of a vast machine they cannot understand, calling in experts to tell them which buttons to push.
So today our people are disillusioned. They've become disenchanted. They've become dissatisfied. And in their frustrations, they want action. You'll see this young black man, this new generation, asking for the ballot or the bullet. That old Uncle Tom action is outdated. The young generation don't want to hear anything about the odds are against us. What do we care about odds? When this country here was first being founded, there were 13 colonies. The whites were colonized. They were fed up with this taxation without representation. So some of them stood up and said, liberty or death. So I went to a white school over here in Mason, Michigan. The white man made the mistake of letting me read his history books. He made the mistake of teaching me that Patrick Henry was a patriot. And George Washington wasn't nothing nonviolent about old Pat or George Washington. Liberty or death was what brought about the freedom of whites in this country from the English. They didn't care about the odds. Why, they faced the wrath of the entire British Empire. And in those days, they used to say that the British Empire was so vast and so powerful when the sun would never set on it. This is how big it was. Yet these 13 little scrawny states, tired of taxation without representation, tired of being exploited and oppressed and degraded, told that big British Empire, liberty or death. And here you have 22 million Afro-Americans, black people today, catching more hell than Patrick Henry ever saw.
Courage adventure.
A hero in the Celtic myths very frequently is following an animal in the forest. The animal kind of lures him into parts of the forest he's never been in before, and then the adventure starts. Or someone will say, look, they've run off with Helen of Troy, so let's all get going and get her back again. Something may be stolen, taken away. Or someone will say, as they said to Perseus, go get Medusa's head, you can have this job. So he has to go do that. One thing or another will be the summons or call.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. He keeps repeating himself. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. The great is your reward in heaven. Money, money, money.
And I'm here to tell you, in case you don't know it, that you got a new generation of black people in this country who don't care anything whatsoever about odds. They don't want to hear you, old Uncle Tom, handkerchief heads, talking about the odds. This is a new generation. If they're going to draft these young black men and send them over to Korea or South Vietnam to face 800 million Chinese, if you're not afraid of those odds, you shouldn't be afraid of these odds. When I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail.
Where do we currently stand now? Are you on furlough? Is this a weekend? How does this work?
I'm on weekend pass. It's 40-hour pass.
When are you through with all this? When is jail over?
I don't know, Larry. I really don't know.
What do you mean? Didn't you have like a 3-year sentence?
6 years, sentence.
And how long have you served?
I served almost 2 years.
Is this about time now for parole?
It's past the time for parole, Larry. This could have been a real hang-up, you know.
What have they told you?
Nothing. Zero.
Have you had a parole hearing?
I was supposed to be out the last, 14 months, but I didn't get out, you know.
And they gave you no reason?
No reason.
And you've been a good prisoner?
Yeah, prison's right. I've been a good prisoner. You're right, Larry.
James, I can't believe that you're not a free man. Can you help us, because time fades quickly?
I got a brand new bag. I feel good, huh?
I know. What were you convicted of?
Speeding, that's all. You know.
Wait a minute, Jim. We're old friends, James. 6 years for speeding? South Carolina's a tough state.
Yeah, it's a spiritual state. There are a lot of complications and a lot of politics, but I don't want to go into it. It's part of a
is very deep, and I don't know whether America needed to get that deep again since the 60s.
You think this was some sort of plot?
Well, we'll just let it be part of the struggle. How's that?
Okay, but do you expect to get out, say, soon?
I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to go do my show. I'm ready to see my people. I'm ready to continue my life. I'm ready to enjoy my family. My wife and I are going through a very hard time here, you know?
Oh, I would bet this is not easy. What prison are you in?
I'm in Lower Savannah in Aiken, South Carolina.
Is that the state prison?
It's a state prison, yes.
Are you being treated well?
I'm being treated like, what can you say, Larry? What can you say? What can you really say? You know, it's, we're dealing with a lot of things today. We're dealing with third world problems, and James Brown's a world figure, and all of a sudden, here I am. I don't know what it's about, you know? I can't believe it. I've served and fought for my country all my life, and fought for my people, and fought for what I believed in. And here I am in trouble. So there it is. I can't put my thing on it.
Do you get a weekend pass?
I don't want to go back to Martin Luther King. I don't want to go back to other days of our country. I just want to go back to reality and try to, you know, get my life going on.
Do you entertain in prison at all? You get to sing?
I sing gospel. And I enjoy singing gospel because I enjoy doing the work for the Lord.
I mean, do you sing for the inmates? Is there like a band? Can you get together and at least do something that you do professionally?
There is no entertainment. There is hard work, and strictly, it's very strong, Larry. It's deep, and I say to the country, to the world, it's very deep.
Do you get weekend passes every weekend?
Every other weekend.
Well, I'm
I'm a man that believes in my country, believes in my people, and believes in everything that I fought for all my life. Believing in family traditions and believing in the right thing. And
well, why are you in jail?
Why I'm in jail? Because I believe, and because I believe so loud that everybody heard me. That's the reason why.
You think you were railroaded?
When a man gets 6 years for what I've done, it's a joke, you know. When you
okay, now I remember. That's right. We're speeding, and
say what you want to say, Larry.
No, I'm trying to. I swear to God, Jim, I don't remember.
Larry, you and I have been friends for a lot of years, and this don't have to be commercial. Hold 1 minute. It's a good thing going on here. My wife is trying to dial in the background. I hope you can hear it.
Okay, I tell you what, let me get a break and we'll come back. Our guest is James Brown, the little wild Dick Shap Brown. He's on a weekend pass. He's serving a 6-year sentence. He served 2 already. Will you help it? I know we were joking a little on speeding. You were also charged with assault, were you not?
Assault to who?
No, I mean, I'm trying to remember the stories. Wasn't there something involving your wife?
Assault? This has nothing to do with my wife. We're talking about James Brown.
I know, but I'm... Okay, let's go back to the beginning. James, we're talking old friends.
Larry.
Why are you in prison?
I'm in prison, Larry, because I believe in what I believe in, and I'm standing up for it, and here I am.
Okay, now what did you do that you believed in that they put you in prison for?
I believed in the system, and the system didn't respect what I believed in. I could have pleaded guilty to all the charges and received a 90-day sentence. And I wouldn't do that. Why should I plead guilty to something I didn't do? I can't try the case on.
So you could have pled guilty and done 90 days?
Yes.
You pled not guilty, went to trial, found guilty, and doing 6 years.
That's right.
All right, and you're doing 6 years for what?
For speeding, and for sitting in the truck waiting on the people to shoot it up.
So there were drugs involved but you weren't using, is that what you're saying?
No, you said that, Larry. That's what you said. I didn't say anything, Larry.
Okay, but I mean there were drugs involved in the case.
Where did you get drugs from, Larry?
You said shooting up.
No, I said it shot the truck with a gun.
Oh, a gun, I'm sorry.
Larry, I understand what you're doing. I don't understand what you're saying.
No, I'm just trying to piece it all together, James.
There's nothing to piece together, Larry. It's nothing to play with. It happened to be a lot of people fighting for the decency and integrity of humanity, and all of a sudden, a man gets stopped for a speeding ticket and wound up in 6 years for drugs. That's what's happening, Larry.
Okay, so they charge you with drugs, and you say you never use drugs.
Larry, drugs wasn't even in the case.
Okay,
that's what you asked me.
Okay, is your lawyer appealing?
Appealing what, Larry?
The conviction.
No, he's not appealing, Larry.
You certainly don't expect to do 6 years.
Larry, I've done 2 years for nothing. And the world knows I've done 2 years for nothing. And it's a joke on the United States government and the state of South Carolina for putting me away for nothing. So I didn't do anything, huh?
What do your lawyers tell you are the expectations? When do you expect to get out, really?
I expect to get out when they let me out. It's like we've been for the last 400 years. When they let me out, I'll get out.
Are you saying this is racially motivated?
They do what they want to do. And they've been doing it all their life. My daddy told me that I didn't believe it. They're still doing what they want to do.
Yeah, but I thought you rose...
Living in America.
Yeah. I thought you rose above it.
Nobody's above being taken advantage of. And they took advantage of me, Larry. And you and I go back a long ways. Congratulations on the things that you're doing.
Thank you. Did,
for what you're doing.
Why'd you write the book?
I wrote the book because I want to tell people that young kids can, of any race, of nationality, or origin, can make it if they try and believe in what they're doing and fight hard for it. And I've been fighting ever since and continue to fight. And that's what happens when a man tries to do something that they think he can't do. A poor little black kid from born in South Carolina, raised in Augusta, Georgia, and made it and went through all the things. And adversities. James Brown's been saying it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. James Brown, open up the door, I'll get it myself, the big payback, all the records and things that have been involved, Rocket Four and all those things. They just want me to keep bouncing back. They used me for the whooping stick, so that's where I was.
Why you?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know, Larry. I could say it because I'm black, I could say it because I'm uneducated, I could say it a lot of things. I say it because I'm... There's a poor man down here trying to do something that has never been done before, and I've been taking advantage of it.
Okay, now there are a lot of black performers, Jim, many are uneducated, many educated, many successful, not many doing time. So you what got you in trouble?
What are you saying, not many doing time? Larry?
I mean, not many,
Larry,
not many,
Larry.
James, let us say you are the only famous black entertainer currently doing time.
Really?
Name another.
Larry? I can name it for more. I can go back many years, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that to the country. We got too many things we're fighting now. We're fighting a lot of things, and I'm very sincere about the things that we're fighting, and I'm concerned about the country and concerned about our kids and what we're doing here. We just got a problem there, and we got to take care of it another kind of way. We got to take care of it by looking after our own and being a part of what we're a part of.
Is this book your life story?
The book is part of my life. No book can take your whole life.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to tell you about the things that I had to do. My father stopped in second grade. My mother stopped in fourth grade. And then I was a poor black kid going through all the different trials and tribulations. This is not commercial. This is reality. And they're not telling you that I'm working at a community action place where we're serving people, trying to do things that make sense, trying to feed the hungry and feed the homeless. Look, Larry, I'm a good man. I've always been a good man. I always believed in my country. I worked with many presidents. I worked with many people trying to do the right thing. I've always done the right thing. I love my country. I love humanity.
I believe that James Brown...
can I do? I can't whoop him, Larry.
Yeah.
Or I'm still an individual by myself. I'm not a conglomerate. I'm still James Brown to represent the little poor man on the corner a kid that's trying to make it, regardless of race, creed, or color, and I didn't make it. But I happen to be in the South and black and don't have anything going for me other than a song and a dance when you break it down to what it amounts to.
James Brown, by the way, let me get a break here. James Brown, by the way, still holds the outdoor record for places like the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, the Orange Bowl in Miami, for paid attendance. I'm talking about more people paid to see James Brown entertain than paid to see the Beatles. We're going to pause and come back with some more moments to define soul singer.
Well, soul singer is someone who sings about things that are happening to them, that it's a part of life, that's a part of our everyday struggle in our situation in America. it becomes another kind of thing.
Is all soul singing dealing with struggle?
Dealing with struggles, dealing with problems, dealing with things that everyday life.
Yeah.
Not singing about bad times or good times, singing about all things.
All right, now how does it differ, say, there is country music that deals with everyday life and blues. How does it differ from the blues?
Well, it don't differ from the blues. The blues is but the blues is what it is. I don't never knock another type of music or anything. It's just that soul singing is kind of it's hard to explain. It's very biblical and very religious.
Yeah. Did it come to you easily?
No, God gave it to me. It didn't come to me easily. It came to me through the Martin Luther Kings and the Harry Tubmans and the James Pittmans. It came to me through the struggle and the fight. That's where it came to me.
Did you sing as a young man?
I sung as a young kid, yes.
What, James, for want of a better term, what was your big break?
My big break? I guess is when I cut Please, Please, Please. It gave me a chance to be somebody. And then also say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud.
Was
very important.
Yeah, was that
living in America was very important.
Was Please, Please, Please an immediate hit?
A very, very big hit. I did Living in America with Rocket Four. And I've done a lot of major things that I thank God for. But I just feel very, very bad about the struggle. I've met with Pope John Paul. I've met with a lot of major people around the world. My influence has been great for people throughout the world, for young kids.
Aren't there a lot of people trying to get you out of prison now?
They say they are, but I hope that it will work. We just did a movie, Autobiography, with Onta Potomac out of Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
And it was aired last 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C., Black Caucus. And it was probably one of the biggest things that ever happened there. It was a world premiere, Los Angeles Times featured, Washington Post, Washington Times, and had a great write-up. It was fantastic. I thank God for what has happened. A lot of things will come out in this episode of my life. Hope it will be better things to come in the future. But it will do some good things for a lot of people that need help.
Don't you have a lot of friends trying for you?
I have a lot of friends. I have Larry King.
Well, I'd try. If you let me try, I'll try.
Larry, I love you very much. I'm asking the people to just come to themselves and realize that we are in a struggle together.
James, thanks very much. Best of luck. Hope to see you soon. The book is The Godfather of Soul. The guest, the great soul singer, maybe the greatest soul singer, James Brown.
So hardworking, Mr. Dolomite, James Brown! Open up the door, I'll tell myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell myself. Don't give me elevation, give me true communication. Don't give me sorrow, I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow. Give me schools, and then give me bare books, so I can read about myself and gain my truly looks. I don't want nobody to give me nothing, but at the door, I'll tell myself. Some of us try as hard as can. We don't want no sympathy, we just wanna be a man. We've used our sweat and blood, put out every fire, lock up every blood. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, get up a step. I'm not gonna talk to you. We got talent we can use outside of town. Let's get our heads together and build it up from the ground. With some just to make money. We forget about our people. Forget about our honey. Forget about our honey. Look at you now. Look at him. Hey! Open up the door, I'll tell him myself. Kid, get that education, and don't you make no ball, cause we gonna get this thing together, and you got to wear the ball. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I'll tell him myself. Look at him, go dig it. Kid, get that education, and don't you make no ball, cause we gonna get this thing together. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, tell myself. Open up the door, open that 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 door.
You black, you were born in jail, in the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you south of the Canadian border, you're South. Don't call Governor Wallace a Dixie governor. Romney is a Dixie governor.
Yes, it's very simple. I can answer your question. Why so many West Indians come into Britain? It's very simple. I can answer your question. Why so many West Indians go into Britain? We had some Europeans in the Western Hemisphere. Went for 1 year and have great grandchildren over there. But since they congest all our island, that's why we move into Great Britain. So in as much as they could take over everywhere, and nothing wrong with us going over there. They can do what they like and say what they please, but there's no place like the West Indies. Some foreigners no use to ask, to them we never use no sarcastic remarks. To receive them with open arms, our mind is always bent. They share our homes and our employment in the sugar plantation and refineries. Foreigners control in the West Indies. But when a West Indian go to Great Britain, he go to study or to better his position. So in as much as they could take over everywhere, and nothing wrong with us going over there. They could do what they like and say what they please, but there's no place like the West Indies. Out detox your memory and remember rum, sugar and banana from Jamaica, some of the product of Trinidad. If you don't know, textile petrol and calypso send into St. Lucia and Grenada, has their own product to supply the world over. The best of rum and sweet potatoes come from the island of Barbados. Inasmuch as they could take over everywhere, and nothing wrong with us going over there. They can do what they like, say what they please, but there's no place like the West Indies.
How it is? Now, there are two kinds of starting out to adventure. One is the one that is yours. It has come to you in the way of an inner voice or a readiness for a certain kind of adventure. The other is following a crowd. That's not being your adventure. If it's going to be your adventure, there will appear as you approach what I call the threshold of adventure, the threshold of real danger, getting out of bounds, there will appear a little guiding voice. I'm calling this magical aid. A little dwarf, a little animal, a little worm will say, where are you going? And you will say, such and such and such and such. And the voice will say, well, this is very dangerous. You can't do that. And you will say, yes, but I know I'm going to do it. And they'll say, well, here's a little thought to hold in your mind. Or here's a little trinket to have hanging from your chest. Or here's something else that's going to guide you and protect you and carry you through this journey. You're given magical aid. You're a little guide. And when you're in trouble, hang on to that, kid, and forget everything else. It's actually a fact. Your adventure is your adventure. And if it is yours, the world will open. Where other people would run into obstacles and blocks, it will open for you. You get on the road and are thumbing your way. The car that stops has the people in it that are just the ones that can carry you that distance and give you advice and perhaps a $5 bill to carry you on the rest of the way. All that kind of thing, magical aid.
You look at the structure of the government that controls this country. It's controlled by 16 senatorial committees and 20 congressional committees. Of the 16 senatorial committees that run the government, 10 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. Of the 20 congressional committees that run the government, 12 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. And they're going to tell you and me that the South lost the war. You today are in the hands of a government of segregationists, racists, white supremacists, who belong to the Democratic Party but disguise themselves as Dixocrats. A Dixocrat is nothing but a Democrat. Whoever runs the Democrats is also the father of the Dixocrats. And the father of all of them is sitting in the White House. I say and I say it again. You got a president who's nothing but a Southern segregationist. From the state of Texas. They'll lynch you in Texas as quick as they'll lynch you in Mississippi. Only in Texas, they lynch you with a Texas accent. In Mississippi, they lynch you with a Mississippi accent. And the first thing the cracker does when he comes in power, he takes all the Negro leaders and invites them for a coffee. To show that he's all right. And those Uncle Toms can't pass up the coffee.
The crossing of the first threshold.
Then you come to the edge of the world. That place psychologically that no one has ever explored for you. That you have to do on your very own. And this I call the threshold of adventure. Before that, you're in more or less mapped out territory. There are a number of typical crises representing this point. What emerges to confront you is the absolute danger of darkness. This will be represented in the form of an typical creature. A dragon. A whale. And in the Arthurian romance is also often a knight in black armor with visor down, so it's just this impersonal monster. And when he is defeated and the visor's taken off, he's the hero's brother.
So the Buddha is the awakened man, the man who woke up. What does he wake up from? Obviously a dream. And what kind of a dream is this? Well, I would call it a state of hypnosis. And this state of hypnosis, although I'm using hypnosis in a rather archaic sense of the word, is a state of being entranced, spellbound, fascinated, and this is called in Sanskrit avidya. When we were hypnotized into the notion of attending to life by conscious attention alone, by the spotlight to the exclusion of the floodlight. And so we began to imagine that we were separate individuals. What is called in Buddhism Sakkaya Drishti, the view of separateness. And a Buddha is one who has overcome that. So the method of Buddhism, what's called the Dharma, doesn't mean the law, it means the method. The method is to knock the stuffing out of you, to take away everything to which you cling, to cleanse you completely of all beliefs, all ideas, all concepts of what life is about, so that you are completely let go. So Buddhism has no doctrines at all that you have to believe in. I don't care what background you come from, whether you're a Roman Catholic or one extreme or a logical positivist at the other. Both are clinging to something, you see? And so the method of Buddhism is to knock out the underpinnings.
I'll be the conductor, and when I beckon, I want you all to unleash your golden throats and shout back at me. Will you? Shall we start the dirty work, Harry? Folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher, a regular gal with a solid future. She was the sweetest and the neatest frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Hi-di, hi-di, hi. Hi-di, hi-di, hi. Hee-hee-dee-hee-dee-hee. Hee-hee-dee-hee. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hi-di, 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 hi-di
skate bounce. Skate it to gallop to gallop away. To give him the gallop to get you to beat the sound of the get you to beat the sound of the get you to beat free.
Go ahead. This endless whore in it ends my song. She was just a good gal, but they done a wrong.
Good night.